Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, part two of Josh Davis's series looking at the rise of the One World Mind. Summer is here, which means not only are the temperatures rising, but the giving is down, way down. Historically, summertime giving is always slow, but this year, with the upcoming election and the economy, giving is at a critical level. Unfortunately, we're having to further cut expenses, including reducing the number of radio stations we are on. We need your help. Please be praying for Southwest Radio Ministries. Please ask the Lord to provide the needed funds that we can continue to proclaim the good news that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. And as you are led, would you please consider giving a gift? Your one-time and monthly gifts are needed this month. You can give when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Thank you, friends, for your prayers and financial support of Southwest Radio Ministries. The greatest preparation that we can make against the rise of the One World Mind is spiritual preparation. With the details on how you can be ready, here is staff evangelist Josh Davis.
On yesterday's program, I tried to share some eye-opening information for you to help you understand how we're moving toward a one-world system of government in our world today. Now, this is based off of my book, Rise of the One World Mind, as I tried to peel back the curtain behind the mindset that is pervasive in our world today and how our world is being conditioned to move toward the biblical end time scenario, a one world government, a one world system of worship or religion, a one world economy, how we see these things emerging in our day to day. And I said that that's the first call of the book, is to open our eyes to what's happening around us. But the second call, and I think the even greater call, is a call to look to Jesus. And so today I want to share some teaching with you based out of a chapter in the book called What Do We Do? That's the question that we get. Okay, we understand this information. What do we do with it? Well, one of the things we need to do is to prepare. Now, people begin to ask, okay, how do we prepare? And then automatically, a lot of people start thinking about the here and the now. They think about hoarding up certain goods, maybe food and money and different kinds of things. Now, that's good. I'm not knocking that any way, shape, or form. We need to make some practical preparations. And there's a number of ways that we can do that. But my primary concern is that we are spiritually ready. And can I say it this way? You can have all the stuff that you need to survive a zombie apocalypse if that was to ever happen. But if your soul is not right with God, what good is it? What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul, Jesus said? If you save up all the goods and you can barter and you can trade and you can transact outside of the system, quote unquote, what good is it if your soul isn't ready for eternity? So the number one preparation we need to make is the spiritual preparation to make sure that we are ready for eternity and to make sure that others are ready for eternity as well. I want to speak about the first one of those today. And I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. And I'm going to read through the passage as I walk through this teaching. I'm not going to read through it all at once at the outset, but I'll be bringing and highlighting some of these verses as we move through this important chapter of the scriptures. Now, this is part of Jesus' Olivet Discourse as he gives in response to the disciples' questions, when shall the end be and what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus is giving his response to them in Matthew 24, Matthew 25. And as he begins to share this important parable, I believe that it speaks volumes to us today. So I want to walk through this. But before we do, let me illustrate, I think, the teaching that is in this passage by telling you a little personal story about how appearances can be deceiving. So my wife and I were on a date night. We pull into a fast food restaurant to enjoy a milkshake, and we received our order. Both of our cups looked identical. They were styrofoam cups, and they were capped with that clear plastic dome lid, and there was a hefty portion of whipped cream, a cherry on top, and that was just so beautiful. I mean, it looks like something that you want to put on social media. Take a picture of it. Here we are getting it, milkshakes. Oh, it's a beautiful, wonderful, delicious treat. And so we stick our straws in there. We begin to drink. So I'm driving down the road and got my milkshake in my hand. I realize something's amiss. So I had ordered a chocolate milkshake with Oreo cookies mixed in. Now, don't judge me. If that doesn't sound good to you, you've got your flavor. This is what I wanted that particular evening. But I began to realize there is no chocolate taste to this. There's no cookies mixed in here. This beautiful cup, the whipped cream, the cherry, all that was hiding, concealing the mess that was supposed to be my milkshake. Now, if it had just been a plain vanilla milkshake, you know, I could have suffered through that. But it was some kind of a grayish goop, and it stuck to my teeth. And that was the first thing I noticed as I'm driving down the road. You know, something sticking to my teeth. What's going on? I had to throw it away. It was good for nothing. And I think that illustrates what Jesus talks about here in this parable about 10 virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The word virgins there applies to how we would use the word bridesmaids today. They were part of this wedding ceremony that was going to happen. And they were all there together, 10 of them. Jesus begins his teaching by saying in verses 1 to 5, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins," 10 bridesmaids, we could say. "They took their lamps, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." And so during the Jewish weddings of Jesus' day, the groom would leave the bride's home to return to his father's house. And while he was there, he would prepare a place for both he and his bride to dwell. Then he would return to get his bride, and there would be this procession that would commence back to his father's house where the wedding banquet would be celebrated. There would be torches to light the way through the darkness as the wedding party proceeded towards the groom's home. And this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of how the Bible describes the end times. Jesus left the glories of heaven, the Father's house, to come to this earth, to call a bride to himself. And before his death, resurrection, and ascension back to the Father, he promised his disciples in John 14, verse 3, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And the book of Revelation describes the wedding banquet that's commonly called the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, verses 7 to 10. And immediately following the description of this marriage supper of the Lamb, we see the second coming of Jesus to earth with his bride in verses 11 to 16. And I think this is further indication that the rapture is going to occur before the marriage feast and the second coming. It's a beautiful illustration of this first century Jewish wedding and how those things would happen. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17 speaks about the rapture. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The groom calls his bride to himself. She will be with the groom for all eternity from this point forward. Now, who's going to be welcomed into this wedding celebration? We go back to Matthew 25, and Jesus distinguishes between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. The only difference between the wise and the foolish was this oil for their lamps. The foolish had lamps, but they had no fuel for them. The wise had lamps and sufficient oil. But all the bridesmaids agreed that the groom didn't come back just as soon as he was expected. So they slumbered and slept. The word slumbered there applies like a nodding off to sleep, but slept is when you're just full out cold, dead asleep, as they say. And so while they slept, the unexpected call woke them suddenly at midnight, verse 6 tells us. There was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him." The alarm clock's going off, it's time to wake up. How do you feel when you're dead asleep and the alarm clock goes off? Oh, you don't know where you are, you're disoriented, you're saying, what's going on? The call came, they were all asleep, they jump into action. Verse 7 says, "Then all those virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps." Suddenly the five foolish are interested in oil. In verse 8 they say, "And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out." It's urgent, it's sudden, it's immediate, it's time to get serious about this. And the wise knew there's no time to waste. There's not enough oil to share. So they say to them in verse 9, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." So this is the truth that we need to latch on to. Each person was responsible for their own oil. It couldn't be shared. The foolish went to buy some, but they missed the groom. Verse 10, "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." So they used their oil to light the way to the wedding celebration. And when they reached the place where this wedding celebration was being held, they knocked on the door. Verse 11 and 12, "Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, I know you not." Now that's important words that we need to pay attention to. These bridesmaids had no relationship with the groom. They were left on the outside looking in. And just like my milkshake looked identical to my wife's on the outside, what was on the inside of the cup was certainly not a milkshake. Yet what's on the inside of the cup is what makes it a milkshake in the first place. What I had pretended to be a milkshake, but it really wasn't at all. So too, these foolish bridesmaids looked the part. They were waiting with the wise. They were in the right place. They were there at the right time. But they were missing the main ingredient, the thing that would make all the difference in the world. The groom didn't reject them because they didn't have any oil. So when they knocked on that door, he didn't say, "Sorry, you didn't have any oil." He didn't say, "Sorry, you weren't ready when I called you." No, he said, "I know you not." Pay close attention to that verse. "I know you not." This is the truth that you need to latch onto. The lack of oil was merely a revelation of what was truly missing, a relationship with the groom. That is what locked them out of the wedding celebration. And what will lock anyone out of heaven? The lack of a saving relationship with Jesus. How can you get into heaven? Only through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The wise bridesmaids who made it into the wedding celebration had a relationship with the groom. They awoke. They went with him when the call came. Truly, that's the only difference between these two groups. And so why would Jesus tell his disciples this? This is an important question we need to ponder. Have you ever heard the old saying, preaching to the choir? And Jesus is talking to the 12 as he's giving this Olivet Discourse. It's this intimate, close conversation, if you will, this teaching from Jesus to the 12. And he's telling them this parable. It seems like he's preaching to the choir. They had to be scratching their heads when Jesus told them this parable. They lived with him for over 3 years. They were his closest and most trusted followers. They're serving with him in full-time ministry around the clock every single day. Why is Jesus speaking to them about being locked out of eternity with God? Matthew 26, 14 to 26 reveals why Jesus told this parable to the 12. One of those who was listening, one of the 12, was named Judas Iscariot. Now today we look at Judas Iscariot and we say, oh man, Judas, yeah, we know all about that guy. But at this time, none of them understood that Judas was the betrayer. As they were at the Last Supper, and Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, did they all point to Judas and say, yep, it's that guy, we got to watch out for him? No, none of them put the finger of blame on Judas. They all began to ask, Lord, is it I? Is it I? None of them suspected Judas. He had it all together on the outside. It looked identical to everybody else. They thought he was one of them. But he was missing the most important ingredient of all. And here is this man that had served in full-time Christian ministry for over 3 years with Jesus. He had a leadership role in this. He seemed to be a devoted follower of Jesus. He served on mission trips. He preached about Jesus. He helped the needy in the name of Jesus. Yet the end of this man is one of the greatest tragedies the world has ever seen. So on the outside, he had it all together, but he was missing the most important ingredient of all. Just like the foolish bridesmaids, just like my fake milkshake. Was it too late for Judas Iscariot to get right with Jesus after he had denied him? Had he crossed a bridge too far to ever be redeemed and to be welcomed into heaven? No, he had not. And we got to understand what the scripture says. There was another man who blew it right around the same time, and he happened to be another one of the disciples, another one of the 12. His name is Simon Peter, and he fulfilled Jesus' prophecy with pinpoint precision. Peter, you're going to deny that you know me. And Peter said, no, I'll never do that. But when Peter denies Jesus, with his third and final denial, the rooster crowed, just as Jesus had prophesied with pinpoint accuracy. And Luke chapter 22, verse 60 and 61 describes it this way. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Now imagine how gut-wrenching that moment was for Peter. He was so headstrong, he was so self-reliant, he was so confident that he couldn't imagine a scenario where he would ever deny Jesus, yet he did. And at that moment, the eyes of Peter and Jesus met. No words had to be spoken. Peter understood how epically he had let Jesus down. And Luke wrote Peter's response to this event in verse 62 of Luke chapter 22. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Simon Peter denied Jesus before the crucifixion. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus before the crucifixion. Peter wept bitterly, but Judas went out and hung himself, Matthew 27 tells us. So what's the difference between these two? They come to a crossroads in their life. Will they turn to Jesus, or will they allow the remorse, the guilt, to propel them away from Jesus? And we come to that same crossroads in our lives. And so what's the difference? Judas was filled with remorse, but Peter was filled with repentance. Remorse just eats at you, but it never finds a resolution. But repentance is resolving that remorse by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter allowed his remorse to drive him to repentance, while Judas allowed his remorse to drive him to suicide. Jesus forgave, restored, and recommissioned Peter. In John chapter 21, you can read about that. And Peter's greatest ministry came after his greatest failure. But Judas thought he had crossed a bridge too far to ever be forgiven. He had to be thinking things like, how could Jesus ever forgive me for what I've done to him? How different the end of the story would be for Judas if he had allowed his remorse to propel him to repentance. Friends, this is the truth you need to grab. No one is too far gone to ever be redeemed. Don't buy that lie. Some of you right now are thinking that thought, how could Jesus save someone like me? He can. If he can transform Peter, if he can transform Saul of Tarsus into the Apostle Paul, he can transform your life. You see, he can forgive you of your sin today. Judas looked the part on the outside, but he never had this saving relationship with Jesus. Tragically, he ended his life instead of turning to the one who loved him and who could transform him. And so, in that sense, he was like the five foolish bridesmaids. And so why am I sharing this with you today? As we're witnessing the rise of the one world mind, we need to be ready for eternity. The most important preparation we can make is to be sure that you know Jesus is your Savior. Christianity is not a code of conduct. It's not a list of rules that we have to follow. My fake milkshake looked the part on the outside, but it was utterly lacking the essential ingredient that made it a milkshake. The same was true for the five foolish bridesmaids and Judas Iscariot. Please, do not let this be true about you. There's a simple yet extremely important question we all must answer. If I died today, where would I spend eternity? Is it possible to know that you're going to heaven? Yes. John wrote in 1 John 5:13, "These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Yes, we can know that we will go to heaven when we die. And how do we get to heaven? It's by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Simply stated, we can't make it to heaven on our own merit, but that's when Jesus stepped in. That's why he died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. You see, eternal life is not merely having a home in heaven when we die. It's a relationship with Jesus that begins now and lasts forever. And Jesus invites you to begin that relationship with him today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can you receive this gift? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. There are no magic words that you've got to say to receive it in your own way. Just express your heart to God, and I'll give you a simple prayer that you can make your own. And you can pray it in your own words. It's just expressing your heart to God. You could say something like, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for me and rose from the dead. I want to turn away from my sins and receive your gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me today, Jesus. In your name, amen." If you've prayed a prayer like that, would you reach out to us at prayer@swrc.com? And let us know so that we can celebrate this with you and encourage you by sending you some resources to help you take the next steps as you begin this journey with Jesus. Prepare for eternity today. You don't have to be left out. You don't have to be left behind. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, and I look forward to spending eternity together with you and Jesus.
The greatest preparation we can make against the rise of the one world mind is spiritual preparation. The only way to be spiritually ready is to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So friends, are you ready for the rapture? Josh Davis's new book, Rise of the One World Mind, will equip and prepare you to be ready for what is coming. Unmasking the agendas at work in our world, it seems intimidating. Fear threatens us into silent submission. Guilt tricks our emotions to get on board with the global agenda. However, we don't need to be scared or intimidated. More than merely listing the problems with the one world mind, Josh's new book seeks to offer solutions. This is not the time to go into hiding. Rather, this is the time to stand boldly upon God's truth. Some of the solutions offered in Rise of the One World Mind include understanding how the one world mindset is rising, discovering God's blueprint for conquering this mindset in your personal life, being ready for eternity, being equipped for the battle, standing strong as a faithful watchman on the wall, and ultimately fixing your focus on Jesus. Rise of the One World Mind by Josh Davis. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Be equipped and encouraged with Rise of the One World Mind. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Ready to preview the latest issue of our Prophecy in the News magazine? Here is Josh Davis with PITN magazine editor, Lise Cutshaw.
I'm privileged to be joined in the studio by the Prophecy in the News magazine editor, Lise Cutshaw, and we're going to highlight the upcoming issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine. We'll share with you some of the featured articles of this upcoming issue and tell you so much more about it, including how you can get a subscription to the Prophecy in the News magazine. Lise, welcome back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Thank you, Josh. Glad to be here.
this particular issue has a theme to it. What is that theme, Lise?
Well, it has a rather mixed theme this time, Josh, but we are starting out the magazine with articles about America. It's not a July 4 fireworks kind of article or set of articles, but just kind of a look, especially since this is an election year.
Yes.
At what's going on in the country from the perspectives of a number of very expert and well-researched authors and articles.
Why don't you remind our listeners how they can get a subscription to the Prophecy in the News magazine so that they don't miss this issue or some of the other future issues that we have planned?
We would love for them to go to prophecyinthenews.com. They can sign up for a regular email there if they'd like to hear from us more regularly than the magazine comes out.
Okay.
But they can certainly subscribe to the magazine there for either 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or lifetime. That is simply by clicking through subscribe. Click the subscribe button there. They can also call us at 1-800-652-1144 and talk to members of our staff, especially Tabitha. If they'll ask for Tabitha, she'll get them set up with a subscription.
Yeah, she does a wonderful job.
She does.
We appreciate Tabitha and all her hard work with you and the other team members that you have that do such a fabulous job with the Prophecy in the News magazine. And we've heard lots of praise about the way that it looks and the content that's involved. And so, Lise, we thank you for another wonderful issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine.
Well, thank you for contributing, as always, Josh, and thanks to the team that puts it together. They are awesome.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
And to our subscribers, who are equally awesome.
Yes, yes. Thank you, friends, for partnering with us in ministry and enabling us to continue to get out this good gospel, Bible truth content to you. And we are grateful for your partnership with us in ministry. Lise, thank you for joining me today on this Prophecy in the News update.
My pleasure.
Will we succumb to the one-world mind, or stand out as a beacon of light in the darkness? Be equipped, ready for battle, and encouraged with Josh Davis's new book, Rise of the One World Mind. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Rise of the One World Mind, 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Josh Davis calls the church to wake up from spiritual slumber as he concludes our series, Rise of the One World Mind. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.